Good morning.
Good morning.
You may be seated. Well, my name is Jeremy. I'm the Associate for Compassion Ministry here. And I just want to say it's so good to be with y'all this holiday weekend, to be in the house of the Lord together. But today we're going to look at one of the least popular aspects of the Christian life. That is embracing suffering and weakness. In our culture today, you won't find many who embrace suffering and weakness as the path to life and strength. But in 2 Corinthians 12, which we have just read this morning, we see that humility through weakness is the path to holiness in Jesus Christ. Humility through weakness is the path to holiness in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul teaches us that fundamental truth about what it means to live the Christian life. And when we look at the life of all the apostles and all the heroes and saints of the faith throughout time, we see that they have embraced suffering and weakness as an inextricable part of journeying with Christ. Journeying with Christ in broken bodies in a broken world. And so this morning we're going to take time to look at the example of the Apostle Paul as he embraced suffering and weakness. And then I want to share with you a little bit of my own story and God's faithfulness in my life. And then we'll look at what Jesus' answer to Paul means for our suffering and our lives. So a little bit of context for the Apostle Paul. So following his very humbling conversion on the road to Damascus, he went from a place of tremendous authority and power to a place of humility and lowliness. Paul was brought low, truly low. And even as the Apostle Paul began his apostolic ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul continued to experience weakness and lowliness and suffering. Think about his life for a moment, what he went through in his ministry and his life. He was beaten and stoned, publicly humiliated and rejected, starved and whipped and shipwrecked. And this list goes on and on, a tremendous life of suffering he lived. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn about one suffering in particular that he experienced that revealed to Paul God's sufficient grace and perfect power. And this particular suffering led Paul to a deeper humility, and through this, he is drawn closer and closer to the heart of the Father. So take a look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul tells us that following a powerful spiritual experience, that he is given a thorn in the flesh, which God uses to humble Paul and to draw Paul closer to the heart of the Father. So the big question is, what was this thorn? We don't know, is the answer. And Paul doesn't really give us any clues. Of course, that hasn't stopped people from speculating throughout time on what Paul's thorn was. Some say that Paul had reoccurring nightmares of his previous persecution of the early Christians. Some say that Paul had a persistent temptation. Some say he had physical ailments, such as a serious vision impairment. Others say that Paul suffered from depression or another mental illness. The only detail that Paul really gives us is that this is a thorn in Paul's flesh. In other words, something is broken with his body. And we don't have any more details or really any other clues. But what we do have is Paul's enduring testimony of God's all-sufficient grace and perfect power in Paul's life. And through this, we see that Paul learned to embrace the all-sufficient grace of Christ in his life, and he was empowered and transformed and sanctified through this suffering. One commenter says that this thorn was evidently a distressing, humiliating, physical ailment, which Paul feared might hinder his effective ministry, but which, in fact, by giving his pride a knockout blow and keeping him dependent on divine enabling, proved to be an aid and not a hindrance. See, Paul's testimony of embracing this suffering, of embracing lowliness and weakness and humility, shows us that God uses these experiences to bring us to experience grace. God can and does use suffering, even suffering that the evil one intended to harm us, even the most devastatingly painful suffering. God can use this for our good and to bring us closer to his heart. And Paul's example shows us this. He shows us that if we refuse to be humbled in these experiences, if we refuse to embrace our own wounds and our own weakness, what we're actually doing is refusing to know and experience God's grace and perfect power. God calls us to humility not to make us nothing, but to empower and enable our transformation and sanctification. Paul's example teaches us that by embracing our suffering, that we can be humble to experience God's grace and power in a new way, a new and fresh way. But that doesn't mean it's easy or fun. Three times in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us that he has pleaded with the Lord, that he's cried out to God, for God to remove this thorn from his flesh, to end Paul's suffering. Paul cries out to the Lord for respite, for relief, for an end to the suffering. And yet, God's answer is something other than immediate and total relief to Paul's suffering. Now, does this remind you of anyone else in the New Testament? Jesus, right? He prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cries out to God for God to take the cup of suffering. And when God does not remove the suffering, Jesus experienced and brought forth the all-sufficient grace of Christ and the perfect power of God. And the same is true for Paul. When his thorn is not immediately removed, the humility that Paul experiences leads him to experience God's all-sufficient grace and perfect power. And through this, he's drawn closer and closer to the heart of the Father. As Paul three times cries out to Jesus, Jesus' answer actually contains something grammatically and theologically important. Take a look at verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." See, grammatically, this reply is in the perfect tense. And what this means for us is that this reply that Jesus gives to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," it's true for Paul then, and it's true for us now. It's true going forward. God has said this. This is true and will be true. God's grace is sufficient for Paul, even as he experiences pain and suffering, and the pain and suffering of this particular thorn in the flesh. And the promise is that God's grace is sufficient for you and for me, even as we experience our own suffering and pain now. It's true then, and it's true now. God's grace is sufficient no matter what. Now, the last thing I ever want to do is to talk about suffering and pain and loss and our broken bodies in a manner that is glib or casual or minimizing. Because I know that all of us here, no matter how old or young you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how rich or poor you are, that all of us, in one form or another, have faced tremendous pain and loss, that we've all faced tremendous suffering in this life. Many of us have lost friends and children and parents in tragic circumstances. Many have been diagnosed with painful or untreatable or incurable illness and experience pain, the pain of a body that is broken beyond the repair of modern medicine. Many of us have faced tremendous and horrendous mental affliction and suffering and broken relationships. And through all of this have cried out to the Lord for Him to end the suffering, to remove the thorn from your flesh. And perhaps you have received an answer that brought immediate release and healing from your suffering, and thanks be to God for that. But I think for a lot of us, as we experience suffering, and as we plead for the Lord for healing, we probably receive an answer more like the one Paul gets. And it can be hard to see in the moment of pain, but as we look back, we can see that through our suffering, we are changed and transformed and sanctified, and we're drawn closer to the heart of God. So something you might not know about me is that for my entire life, I've suffered from clinical depression. As far back as I can remember, even as a little child, the weight of living in this terribly broken world just felt like it was too much. And for many years, I simply could not cope with the pain and brokenness and the heaviness of life in this world. I couldn't cope with the suffering and pain of others as they experienced loss and their own pain. And it overwhelmed me. It consumed me to the point that I could not function in a healthy manner. For me, depression is not something that has simply gone away as I have grown older. But what has changed is how I can see God using my depression to lead me to embrace His sufficient grace and perfect power, to embrace His tender mercy. And through this, God has given me the gift to experience the pain and the heartbreak and the suffering of others. And He's shown me that this is a gift. God has shown me that without my depression, I would not be able to sit with people in pain and to genuinely share in their suffering. I would not be able to authentically share the good promises of God that He will neither leave us nor forsake us. I would not be able to genuinely embrace Christ in my own suffering and in the suffering of others as He says to us, "I see you and I'm with you." And while even with treatment, I still experience the pains and wounds of depression, the grace of Christ is present even more. In the suffering and mental anguish, in the pain and weightiness of walking and talking with others in their own pain and suffering, I have experienced this very same word from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So how can we, even in our suffering and our weakness, even in pain and loss, how can we experience God's perfect grace and power? I have three suggestions for us. The first is to embrace humility. One of my favorite books is by the 19th century missionary Andrew Murray, simply titled Humility. Here's what he has to say about embracing humility. The highest glory of a creature is in being only a vessel, to receive and enjoy and show forth the glory of God. But one can do this only as it is willing to be nothing in itself, that God may be all. Water always fills first the lowest places. The lower, the emptier a person lies before God, the speedier and the fuller will be the inflow of the divine glory. Paul was willing to empty himself, to be emptied, so that he could be filled by God's grace. He was willing to embrace weakness and even poverty and affliction to be filled with God's grace. And Jesus, he emptied himself to give you his grace. So embrace humility and give yourself away, and you will be filled with God's grace and glory in this. Secondly, draw close to God in prayer and communion. We forget this powerful truth sometimes, but in prayer, we speak directly to our God, who has known pain and suffering, who has known rejection and loss, who has known loneliness and a broken body. So draw close to God in prayer, and he will meet you and fill you. And in communion, we are made one body with Jesus. And this is only possible because Jesus was willing to empty himself, to lay down his very life for us. And when we eat the body of Christ, when we drink the blood of Christ, we participate in his suffering, and we are filled with his love. We are empowered to continue even through pain and suffering. We are also made one body with one another. So embrace your brother or sister in Christ and let them take on your suffering. Share your experience and your pain with them. And if you feel like you don't have anyone to talk with, to talk about whatever suffering you've experienced or are experiencing, you can come talk to me. It's one of the great honors of my life to be a pastor and to sit with people in pain and to share the love of Jesus with them. And then my last suggestion is this. When it feels like too much, just do the next thing. Some of the best pastoral advice I can give you as you experience tragedy and loss, or illness, loneliness, or any other suffering, is simply to do the next thing. Get out of bed in the morning, put one foot in front of the other, make it through the next thing on your calendar, and through this and in this, I promise that God will fill you with his grace. I promise that he will carry you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are comfort for the sad, and you are strength for the suffering. We thank you that you are with us even in our suffering and pain. And we thank you that you promise to bring us into your grace. As we learn from the Apostle Paul to embrace our own suffering and weakness, we ask that you would give us grace to see you at work. Give us grace to hear your tender answer to our cries, because you promise us that your grace is sufficient for us, and your power is made perfect in weakness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.